Invite you to turn to John chapter 7 and verse 14. John 7 and verse 14. About the middle of the About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews, therefore, marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" So Jesus answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God, or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" And Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word. Oh God, we ask, Lord, in these moments that you will help us to hear your instruction. And Lord, I pray for that one who is yet to come to faith in Christ. Lord, save them this morning. And Lord, edify your people. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a very confusing world. It's getting harder and harder to know who's telling the truth. For example, a specialist will say that eating a certain type of food will help you with certain ailments. And then another specialist will come and say, "No, don't eat that. You're going to suffer great harm." Who are you going to believe? Then you have some financial advisor that says, "You need to buy gold if you want to protect your investments and your savings." And then I know another financial advisor says, "No, don't buy gold. Invest in stocks and bonds and maybe some real estate." So who are you going to believe? Then I get in thinking about maybe even spiritual problems and answers that you're looking for. Maybe people have some questions about how do you go to heaven. A man goes out here and he asks 100 people, "What is your viewpoint on how to go to heaven?" And the 100 people will give 100 different viewpoints. There's so many different groups, so many different religious groups, all claiming that they have the right answer and they have the truth about eternal matters. Well, the Bible says very clearly in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way that seems right. It just seems right unto a man, but the end is the way to death. And so you really can't rely upon what someone says. And it used to be, we heard somebody would say, "You know what, this is what I believe because that's what the preacher said." Well, you just better be careful about what preachers say. You better make sure they're in the book. And so you want to check it out with the scriptures. Here in our ongoing study of John, we've been looking at Jesus and the claims that he has made concerning his identity and according to his mission that he has. Jesus has made some very astounding claims about himself. Jesus says, for example, "I am come down from heaven." You see that quite frequently in John's Gospel. Jesus also says that I've been sent into the world by the Father. Jesus also says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then we have people like John the Baptist. John the Baptist makes this statement in John 3:36. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not believe or obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And then we read of Luke the physician. He makes this statement in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then we think about John, the writer of this gospel. He says in John 1 verse 11, he says, he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So, do you want to know the real truth? Here it is. You listen to Jesus. You listen to his word, and I pray that every single person in this room this morning will be convinced and be determined in your heart and mind that you will cling tightly to Christ and his word, because it's the only truth. Jesus is not one of many truths. He is the only truth as far as salvation is concerned. So how can you know it? First of all, we can check it all out because when you consider the Lord's teaching, as we look here in verse 14, consider Christ himself. By receiving him and receiving his teaching, you'll come to know what the truth is. In verse 14, it says there, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. He began teaching. Well, you remember last time, his brothers, that is, his blood brothers, said, you need to go to Jerusalem. There's this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, very important feast. There'll be a huge crowd there. You need to go down there and show your stuff. You need to show yourself to the world who you are. Go down there and do some miracles. You see, his brothers did not believe in Jesus at this particular time. Well, Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have, instead of coming down there, and at the middle of the feast, that is, it lasted 7 days, and in the middle of the week, he went right into the temple where rabbis would be doing their teachings, but Jesus went in there and started teaching. Instead of teaching, Jesus could have done miracles. He could have done lots of amazing things just to impress people, to get a crowd. He could have elevated himself. He could have flew like a bird. He could have jumped over a building. He could have jumped off of a building and land safely. He could have amazed people and blow them away with incredible things. He had all that power. Kind of like the crazy things people do today in churches. If we have 200 people next Sunday, the preacher's going to preach on the top of this building. Well, let's make it clear. I'm not getting on top of this building. A full house would be nice. People do a lot of crazy things. Why not just teach the incredible word of the living God? Jesus went into the temple there and began to teach. Why is that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. Miracles do not produce faith. Somebody says, well, if I just can see a miracle, I believe I can believe. No, you wouldn't. These people didn't believe. The unbelief of these religious Jews was incredible. They didn't believe his word. So Jesus, in verse 14, he began to teach. Well, what did he teach? Well, it doesn't really explicitly tell you what he taught there, but we can guess, I think, because it was the period of the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what is that? Well, you can read if you want to. You go back to Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, God gave them some instructions about what they're to do. And it goes like this. In Leviticus 23, verse 42, it says, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in these little tabernacles, these little booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Well, as time went on, they got away from that. They got into captivity. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the captive Israelites were coming back into the land, somebody found the book of the law, and they began to read Leviticus, and they began to start back this observance of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they took tree branches, and they made little huts, little booths. And they put on the city dwellers put on the flat roofs of their homes, and then out in the country they would make it, and they would live in that thing 7 days, as was commanded there in Leviticus 23. Well, what's that all about? Well, God instructed them to do that because to remind them, when they came out of Egypt, they dwelled in these booths, a temporary dwelling, until they got into the promised land, and then they could build more firmer houses and something a little more permanent. You know, that's a good lesson for us today. Even today, to think about this. We have, as God's people, we have no permanent dwelling in this life. I mean, we may not have the little huts, and I guess I could live in a hut, but listen, our homes may be a little bit more sturdier than they, and some brick and maybe some whatever. You may be paying a mortgage on one, but listen, it's not going to be around forever. We're not going to be around forever. Our dwelling here in this life is temporary. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're passing through. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And we look for the Lord Jesus to come. So this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And so that's something I believe Jesus probably taught the people and probably said some other things. And I think you could probably add where you said over there about treasures. In Matthew chapter 6, he talked about treasures. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Have you ever had a thief break in and steal something? Well, they're out there. If not, the moths will eat it up, or the rust. There's something will rust away. He says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so, receiving Christ this morning, we realize we receive His teaching if we're going to know what the real truth is. But there's something else about that. Just being impressed about the truth doesn't mean you believe it. Because it says in verse 15, "The Jews, therefore, they marveled, saying, 'How is it this man has learning when he has never studied?'" So they knew Jesus. They knew his upbringing. They knew how he was brought up. And they knew that he did not attend the local universities. They knew that he did not go to the local theological schools of that day. And they marveled at his learning, the teaching. He's never studied. And he doesn't quote previous authorities like they did. The Pharisees and the scribes, when they did their lesson, they would quote, "Rabbi so-and-so said this," or "Rabbi so-and-so said this." Jesus did not quote anyone. He just spoke the truth. And they marveled, impressed about that. And even if you skip down in the same chapter, go down there to verse 46. The temple police were sent out to arrest Jesus. And here's what they said when they come back and said, where's Jesus? You're supposed to arrest him. And they said this in verse 46. No one ever spoke like this man. I mean, his teaching just blew them away. They were highly impressed. They marveled. But that doesn't mean they believe. It takes more than just being impressed. So to believe in Christ means this. You receive God's word as what it is. It's the word of God. Look at verse 16. So Jesus answered them. He said this. My teaching. Let's get it clear now. My teaching is not mine. In other words, I'm not here on my own just coming up with stuff. He says, my teaching is not mine, but it's his who sent me. Who sent him? God. God the Father. And so he's giving the word of God to the people. So to believe in Christ is to believe in God and to receive his doctrine, to receive his teaching is the same thing as receiving the very word of God. Now the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 1:1 says that in these last days that God spoke to our fathers in the past by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so we receive him. So Jesus, he just didn't go off and start some new teaching on his own and some new teaching, but he was totally consistent with what God had already given in scriptures to the prophets, and all that he said and all that he was taught was straight from God. Now listen, no one else can do this. No one can do that like Jesus did. No one can stand up before people and say, listen, I've got a revelation from God to give to you. No, you can't. No, you don't have one. Only Jesus can make that claim. Now, there's this person called Ellen White. Well, I don't know if you know anything about Ellen White, but if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you know something about it, because the Seventh-day Adventists believe that Ellen White and her writings were just as inspired as the Word of God. Her writings are not inspired. She's a false teacher. Now, they would be offended if you said that to them. Or somebody would say, well, I believe this guy named Joseph Smith. He got a revelation from God, and here came the Book of Mormons. Joseph Smith is a false teacher. Or was. He's in the past. Now he's gone. Book of Mormons is false. I'll go a little bit further and say this. There are some, quote, evangelical preachers that will parade stages and say, last night God gave me a word. You better give me the chapter and verse. God does not give new messages. We got the old story right here. So if anybody stands up and say, well, God gave me a word for y'all this morning. Okay, you're in the Bible, right? And what's so bad, so many of these guys don't even have a Bible in front of them. They're just saying a bunch of stuff, and you wonder, well, when's the verse coming? When's the Bible coming? And they just do some psychological mumbo jumbo. That's one of my pet peeves. I'm going to stop right there as far as I want to go with that. But no one, absolutely no one, has been given new revelations, new messages. The complete, holy, inspired text is right here in God's holy word. Now the Bible does say this, in the last days there's going to be some doctrines and teachings of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So how do you know the real truth? Well, you receive Christ and his teaching. Number two, verse 17, how do you know it's really the truth? Here's how you can find out. Verse 17, how can we come to know what is taught is actually the truth? And here's the key. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. So here's the key. If anyone's will is to do God's will. So number one, humbly submit. Humbly submit to do God's will. Humbly submit. And here's what's going to happen. God will show you. He'll confirm to you that it is true. How does he do that? The Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 says, we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. He says, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now he's not giving you a new revelation. He inspired the apostles to write what we have God's word here. But the Holy Spirit confirms his own word that it is the word of God. And so today we're living where there's so much false teaching, pagan teaching going on. New world, new age kind of teaching going on today. So you need to know what God's truth is. Now there's something that God gave to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 29. He told them that they and their children and their children's children will grow up and they'll be surrounded by pagans. But here's the promise. But from there, even in a pagan society, from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. What is he talking about? That is, the truth is not going to just fall in your lap. The wisdom of God's word will not automatically come to our children. They must be taught the precepts of God's holy word. Train up a child in the way he should go. How are you going to teach him the way he should go? Listen to old Dr. So-and-so? No, you train him in the word of God. And that's what we're to do. So seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. So by humbly submitting to God's will. Now verse 18. Also, by following Christ who sought the glory of God. Jesus didn't come expressing his own glory. He always pointed to the glory of God. Verse 18 he says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. That's the Pharisees. They're after their own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him, talking about Jesus, he's the one who is true. And in him there is no lie. There's no falsehood. That's the very opposite of the Pharisees. They had no interest in seeking the glory of God. All they were interested in just speaking out their own selves. And they loved the praise of men. And I read over there in John chapter 12 about these Pharisees. And actually it's like Isaiah who prophesied about them. They're blind to the truth. They're blind because they're so wrapped up in themselves. And it says this in John 12 verse 39. Therefore they could not believe, because like Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and he spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, talking about these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these religious, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's what they were concerned about. They were seeking the approval of men, not God. That was their whole thing. And so because of that, they were blind to the truth. Blind, they couldn't see, and their heart was hardened against hearing the word of God. So we're to follow the example of Christ. He came seeking God's glory. And that's what we should do. In other words, get self out of the way and put God first. Seek God first. That's it. Well, number three, we We go to the next verse. He says, really to know the truth, the real truth, it's going to involve us being confronted with God's law. Now, here's what Jesus does. He begins to bring the law up here. And let's look at it there. In verse 19. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? Well, then the crowd, because Jesus was pointing this at these Pharisees and religious rulers, the crowd, man, they were upset because they had high respect for their leaders. You're talking about our leaders. You're talking about my rabbi. You're talking about my teacher. What are you talking about? He says, who is seeking to kill you? You've got a demon, verse 20. You have a demon. And so what Jesus does, he brings up the law here about Moses and says, you're seeking to kill me. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. They had murder in their hearts toward Jesus. And we've done read many passages where they were seeking to kill him. And the crowd says, you're not talking about my teacher. You're not talking about my rabbi, my Jewish teacher. You've got a demon. You're full of the devil. What are you talking about? Who is seeking to kill you? Well, here's the thing about Jesus. He's going to go to the law here, the law of Moses. Jesus knows their hearts. And this thing about it, here, they were trying to expose Jesus as being a fraud, you know, as a deceiver and all that. But look, what he does, he turns it around. He exposes them for who they are. They got murder in their heart. He reads their mind. He reads their hearts. And that's what the law does. And so let's look on there. Let's look at the next verse. In verse 22, Moses, 21, Jesus answered, I did one work and you all marvel at it. Now what's he talking about? That one work, it goes back to John chapter 5, where Jesus healed this man at the pool of Bethesda. You remember that man at the pool of Bethesda? He was paralyzed for all his life, and Jesus healed that man. And Jesus did the work of healing on the Sabbath day. And they were angry at him because of that. And that's what he said there in verse 21. I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Well, let's talk about Moses. Moses gave you circumcision, but really it goes all the way back to Abraham. Abraham was given the instruction about circumcision even before Moses. He says, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. Now, if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? In other words, you read in the law, and the law says on the eighth day, a male child's born, and on the eighth day, he is to be circumcised. That's the law of Moses. Now, what about if that eighth day fell on the Sabbath? Well, you want to keep the law, you want to break the law, so you go ahead and perform that ceremonial rite on the Sabbath day, if that eighth day fell on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, look here, here's a man I healed. I made his whole body well. He's lying there at the pool of Bethesda. And he says, you're angry with me. That's what he says. You're angry with me. And because on the Sabbath I made him well. And then verse 24 says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Well, who's on trial here? They're trying to put Jesus on trial. Really, they are on trial. Every time you come to the Word of God, you don't put the Word of God on trial. Can I believe this or not? No, you're put on trial. I heard this illustration. Someone talked about a man was invited to go to an art show. He went to see some beautiful paintings, some very famous painters. And this guy that went with him had no appreciation for the arts. He says, I don't see anything on that. He said, listen, that art's not on trial. You are. And that is way with Christ. Tim Conway, pastor of Grace Community Church, he said it this way. Man has a wicked inclination to find fault with God and to demand that God give him an answer to all his questions. But when God speaks to someone, one thing becomes a reality, is that man suddenly realizes God is not the one that is on trial, he is. And the Jews here, they're being confronted, convicted by God's law, God's word. Just like Adam. When Adam sinned, he hid in the trees. God came in the cool of the day. Where are you, Adam? Where are you? God comes to Adam. Conway, he says this way about Adam. He says, suddenly there's a consciousness that we are being looked at. God is looking at us. God sees through us. God knows us. God is calling us out. Come out. Come out. Into the open. Expose yourself. You're hiding back there in the trees. Come on out. And we're the ones being called out. Where are we? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Well, that comes home. And Jesus is calling these religious rulers. He's calling them out. Confronting them. Well, we can excuse, make our excuses. And people do it all the time. And they could deny their guilt. They could deny their culpability to God and His Word. But that doesn't change anything. A lot of people are living in a world of make-believe. There's a way that seems right. But it's a way that ends death. And I see this sometimes with evangelism today. We don't go to the law, bring up what the law says, the Ten Commandments. We rush to say, do you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Well, they don't even know what they're committing themselves to. First, you go to the law. And you hear things like Romans 3 and 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. Do you know you're a sinner? Well, what's that? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Go through all of them. We have broken every one of them. Being confronted by God's law. And then the last thing we see here in verse 21, he says, I did one work and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcisions. But verse 24 is one I want to zero in. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And here's what happened. When you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you come to know His truth, it's amazing how it sets everything right. Everything makes sense. It all comes, you can see the whole thing. I think about that verse in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, the person who's not saved, they cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them because it's spiritually discerned. And so the spiritual judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, the Jews had some silly laws. They created about 613 laws, do's and don'ts. This is what you do, can't do this, legalism. I mean, it's lots of those laws. And Jesus gave an example. Let me give you an example. I did one work. I healed this man on the Sabbath day. And you're angry about that. And here you are. You circumcise a man on the Sabbath day because it's on the eighth day. And he says, don't judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. I tell you what will solve our legal system, our judicial system, and everything else. If people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Judge with right judgment. Because they're all about appearances. Well, it just looks good. They're all about appearances. Pharisees. They love to be parading themselves in front of people. And they like to pray out on public streets and let everybody be seen of men. They love to show themselves and appear to be holy and all that. but all their religion was superficial. Nothing true about it at all. Well, I'm going to stop right there. Thank God in Christ, He has set us free from the law. Not that we disobey the law, but later on Jesus will say, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hello, this is Pastor Chris Gown. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. We hope the message was helpful and edifying. If you're not a follower of Christ and you want to learn more about the Christian life, please contact us through this website. We would love to respond to your questions. For now, may our Lord bless you and yours with His amazing love and abounding grace. Goodbye.